Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya Parikh with Beyond Confidence Show. Our show is about taking our present level wherever you might be, whether you are a business owner, you are a professional, you are a student, you are a child, you're a mom, you're a dad. It's about giving meaning to wherever we are and moving beyond where we are and taking a life to the next level. And today, we are going to have a great show because we are going to talk about how we can get ahead in career and in life using service, how we can help others and help ourselves as well. So just to share a little bit about myself, I am Divya Parikh, your today's show host. I'm an international leadership wellness coach, speaker, and author. I've worked with coaches and professionals over six continents as a co-author of international bestseller, as well as an Amazon bestseller, The Voyage to Your Vision. The idea is to change your life for the better. And please visit at the link that I have provided on the Blog Talk Radio show to get your download, the free download to have your visioning and goal charting. And if you need to contact me, I'm available at contact@diviaparikh.com. And without further ado, I'm going to welcome our panel of experts. It's Mark, who is the co-founder and CEO of movingworlds.org. It's a global platform that connects volunteers' expertise with social impact organizations around the globe. We have Nicole, who is the Director of International Sales and Marketing at eBanks. And she has also expertised in 2012 for 18 months. We also have Nafisa with us, who is the Director of Global Engagements at movingworlds.org. And she has previously published on using international experience to get a purpose-driven career. And last but not the least is Michael with us, who is an accounting professional. The numbers, right? The numbers always can be very scary. So we have somebody who has expertise in accounting. He has expertised in 2013 for 6 weeks. So welcome, everyone, and I would like to invite Mark to share a little bit about yourself and how your career has translated into moving worlds.
Sure, and thanks so much for having me and the rest of the people on the call. It's a pleasure to be here. We started Moving Worlds very much out of a personal journey where I was kind of wondering, probably about 5 years ago, about, you know, where I was looking to go in career and in life, and decided to spend a year traveling and volunteering overseas. And along the way, I really gravitated towards projects where I could use my professional skills and was looking on ways to continue to develop those skills. And along the way, kept a blog that was actually, I think, pretty terrible at the time, but randomly, you know, people started to discover it and ask me questions about doing similar work. And then ended up meeting my co-founder, Dirk, who came very much from the global development industry, and had the chance to kind of work with him and build up a platform that we thought we could really build this kind of movement in such a way that was both really beneficial to people on the ground and organizations looking to create change, but then also for people that are looking for international experience and asking some of those same questions about, you know, what are my strengths? What is my purpose? and how do I build those experiences to help me get ahead? And so that's kind of continued to gravitate into the moving worlds that you see today. And the one thing that we just continue to see and really looking forward to hearing the stories of Nicole and Michael, who are very, very different stages of their career, but both have really used these types of international experiences to catalyze their growth. And I think that's kind of our fuel here, hearing stories like this and following people in the long term to see where they end up.
Oh, absolutely. Having a meaningful and purpose life is something that's what drives us, because we may go after the materialistic investments and we may be looking for cars and homes and other manifestations of materialism in our lives. However, to quench the thirst of the soul, we always need a meaning and purpose in our lives. So well said, Michael. And I would like to invite Nicole to share a little bit about herself and how she gravitated towards expatriating.
Great. Thank you for the introduction. And hello to everyone today. So I'm Nicole Wickswat. I expatriated through a company called eBanks. It's a Brazilian company. And it actually was for 3 months, and it's turned into over 2 years. So I'm actually still currently with the company. My history, I worked for the Intel Corporation for 7 years in the areas of finance, business development, new ventures, and sales. After my 7 years, I took a sabbatical and was traveling around in Southeast Asia. After almost a year of a wonderful travel experience, I was ready to go back into the business world. I'm childhood friends with Mark Horjowski, so we've known each other for a very long time, and he had started this organization called Moving Worlds. I love the concept, and so I went to Mark and I said, hey, Mark, I want to do something like this. And Mark helped me find a great company, and like I said, has turned into, I guess, now over a two-year project.
Oh, fantastic. It's lovely to have people like yourself, Nicole, on call, because this is what the community is about, reaching out to others, helping others, spreading the message of goodness. Thank you for what you do. Nafisa, if you will share with our audience a little bit about yourself and how you were drawn to Moving Worlds.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. My background is a little bit more of a social work background, actually. I started doing social work and worked with survivors of sexual assault and juvenile justice, and then eventually shifted into the international development arena and did a master's in public health, global public health, as well as social work, and had worked in the field in India and Indonesia doing research and implementing programs. And one of the things that I learned while I was in the field was that there was really a lot of need for various types of skills that weren't necessarily a part of the development sector. And I always found that very interesting, that I couldn't necessarily contribute to the needs of those social impact organizations. But I also found a conflict in a lot of the work, that there was a lack of sustainability in the projects that people implemented when they went for certain periods of time, and also a lack of understanding of cross-cultural integration or cultural understanding when you're working within a different context. And so then when Mark and I met and started talking about Moving Worlds, this was the perfect collaboration of the two ideas that I was thinking about within development, that there's these professionals that have these skill sets that they can go and contribute and simultaneously work on implementing projects that are actually sustainable. So when they leave the field, those projects are still continuing. They're still existent without the expertise there. Which is what Moving Worlds also focuses on. And then on top of it all, it gives the expert a fantastic experience, you know, to be able to go out in the world and try something different and meet new people, and it also really inspires their work along the line in their future career. So it was a really exciting project to actually be able to collaborate on.
Mm. Yeah, you have a great background. Anybody who enters the background enters it with the will of helping other people. And that is so important in today's world, especially when we are roaming around and connecting with each other in the virtual halls of technology. So great. Thank you for what you do, Nafisa. And Michael, how did you move from the love of numbers and a profession where, you know, people are always a little scared of, especially when, you know, when the tax season comes in, so from moving from accounting to expertiring? So please share about yourself as well as your passion towards expertiring.
Certainly. My background, like you said, is accounting, and I had spent about 29 years in the field of accounting. And I actually had quit my job. I just decided that I wanted to go in another direction, but I wasn't quite sure what the direction was that I was going to go in. And I went to a startup conference at a local university, and from there I went to a lean startup conference in San Francisco, and I met Mark. And one of the things that I had thought about was an overseas mission trip, and Mark and I started talking. Was actually a proctor in a room where he was doing a presentation, and eventually we talked, and he told me about moving worlds and told me to go out to the site. And over the course of the years, I'd worked in nonprofit, I'd worked in healthcare and education, and there was a project on the site for a College of Integrative Medical Sciences in Ghana, West Africa, and that sort of combined healthcare and education. And specifically, what they were looking for was someone to do photography and videography for a fundraising effort for that particular college. And photography is one of my hobbies, so it sort of combined some things that I'd actually worked in and actually things that I had an interest in. And I talked with the person who had posted the need for volunteer, and it piqued my interest, and I had the time to go, and so I signed up for the assignment and actually enjoyed my time there, Donna.
Mm-hmm. Great, great story. It shows that, you know, how you can move from one direction to another direction of helping people. Very profound. Thank you, Michael. So we have talked about how you moved in this direction. Let's focus on FIRED. You to start looking at international and social impact opportunities as opposed to the Wall Street and the big tech. So Mark, I would like you to invite you and share your thoughts on it.
Sure. You know, that's a good question. And the honest answer is, you know, what I reflect on now is probably different than the mindset that I was in 5 years ago. But one of the conversations that I remember having at the time was that, and it was actually I live in and from Seattle, and it's a kind of a famous quote from Jeff Bezos, and he talks about this thing called the regret minimalization framework. And it's one of his, more of his like kind of personal talks that I've ever heard from him. And so it doesn't seem to make it in as much of his business writing or as many of his business or tech concepts. But kind of on that personal level, he talks about his own experience in starting Amazon. And he had heard a lot of advice growing up, and I think it's something that we've always heard too, is that you're most likely to regret the things that you didn't do. And as I kind of thought about that, I was in a career transition. You know, I did have some other job opportunities, but that kind of thought was running around in my head of, if I'm going to regret the things that I didn't do, and I kind of want to, you know, and to quote Jeff Bezos, I want to minimize the type of things that I regret. So at the end of my life, when I look back, I will realize that, you know, I took all the opportunities and took the chances and was proud of all the choices I made. at a point where I was able to kind of look at that and just look forward and say, you know, international experience is, it's exciting, it's scary, it's interesting, it's transformational, it's all these things. And I knew I'd regret not doing it. And so even though there's some great kind of offers in front of me, I really felt like I'd regret if I didn't give myself the time to really explore some of my bigger questions about life and career and purpose. And so, yeah, it was kind of a scary way to kind of embark on that journey. But I just remember having so many conversations around that time about what am I going to not regret doing? And I knew going overseas or serving others would not be anything that I would ever look back on and regret doing.
Hmm. Mark, what were you thinking about at that time? Because it is a more of a scarier decisions for one to make, probably being as young as you were at that time. What was going in your mind, and how did you stop those nagging thoughts, those self-doubts, and most likely even some naysayers in your life, and move past beyond that?
Yeah, it's, you know, I got a lot of help from community and friends, you know, so kind of sharing my ideas, and you know, some people were skeptics, some people were champions, and just took a lot of time to listen to everybody and kind of gather all kind of viewpoints. And then I remember I got one advice from a friend, which was, you just have to be open and you just have to go. You're not going to have all your questions answered. And it's normal to kind of embark on these types of experiences, whether it's a 1 week trip or a 1 year walkabout. You're going to embark with, you know, fear of everything, of other cultures, of things that could go wrong, or when you get back, what are you going to do? But the biggest one that actually almost kept me from going is, you know, what am I going to do after I get back? And the thing that I didn't want to do is, you know, go travel for a year, come back, and then still kind of be lost, if you will, in my career. And so I ended up talking to as many people that would give me time as possible to learn from them about, you know, what did they look for when they were hiring people onto their team, or what type of, you know, if they were entrepreneurs, what type of experiences did they embark on in order to give them the confidence to start their own enterprise, or hiring managers at some companies that I admired, you know, what were the qualities and traits of employees that they were looking to hire? And there's a lot of consistent themes that you start to hear, especially for people that are kind of looking ahead into the future of what it's going to take for people to be successful in business as well as in life. And it's things like diversity and, you know, diverse experiences and problem solving and doing more with less. And so I kind of use that guidance to say, okay, as I go overseas, I want to be able to look back on this and still tell a good story of why I did this experience. And so I, you know, put down some goals on paper of, there were some personal things that I wanted to learn and develop in, but there were also some professional skills that I wanted to work on. And there was also some industry stuff that I wanted more exposure to. And so I started to pick these international experiences that would help with, you know, at least one of those objectives at the same time. And I think in that process is where first plane ticket, it really felt like I was using this and I could justify it almost as if I was, you know, applying to a master's program or a, you know, professional education or a certificate program. So I really started to view the experience that way. And that gave me a lot of confidence to be able to go on experience, knowing that when I came back, I'd be able to use this experience to still, you know, kind of help me get back on my feet and continue ahead in a professional life.
Mm-hmm. I really liked what you said is about justifying that plane ticket. And that's where most of us stay in mediocrity and do not move from mediocrity to extraordinary. We do not see the value of investing in ourselves. It's about exactly what you said, that it was getting that experience in master's. It was going for a higher education. It's about seeing the value of investing in oneself. And these experiences are hard to come by. So there are Two things that I see from what you have mentioned is, one is invest in yourself. You will invest in so many different things. You go for vacation, you maybe even if you count the cups of coffee that we go through a whole year. During that time, if you put that money aside, you could be taking that money to invest in yourself, whether it is going on a trip like this or getting higher education or experience. And then the second thing that stuck out was that the community really helped you and supported you. And that's also one of the keys to have in life, because human beings are social and the peer pressure does work really very, very well. So great thoughts. So Nafisa, what made you consider this option? What options did you have when you were weighing towards working at Moving Worlds and going in some other direction?
That's a good question. Somebody actually recently asked me that, and I think it kind of contributes to what I said before, that Moving Worlds put together a lot of the ideas that I strongly believe in. And because we're a small company that's very innovative in ideas and kind of moving with best practices, like really observing like what best practices are in the field and in volunteering your skills, we adapt a lot. When we find different things that that work better, we actually adapt and improve our outreach, improve what we're actually able to do with people, because we have that ability to be flexible. And I really appreciated that. I appreciated the values of being able to create a social impact by actually helping facilitate these experts with these actual strong skill sets that these social impact organizations need to progress whatever social impact that they're working on, and help these professionals actually get to those social impact organizations and make that difference there, but then also be able to see that it's influenced their life in such a meaningful way that, you know, half the time we see experts switching their careers or adapting their lives a lot to be able to have this kind of work within their daily life, whether it's they switch careers or they start volunteering a lot. So it creates such a profound effect in so many different ways. And when I saw that and really understood that about Moving Worlds, it was a very easy decision for me.
Mm. And as a result of being at Moving Worlds, do you travel a lot, or are you based at one location only?
Right now, we're a remote company, so we're all based in different places. So I mostly stay home, which is actually nice after spending so many years traveling for long periods of time. But I have traveled a bit. I've traveled to Mark and I have actually traveled to South Africa as well as to Nairobi for corporate clients. And so we've been able to do that, and there's some future travel with some other corporate clients that are coming around the corner. And we've definitely talked about us as employees as well, being able to expatriate as well and kind of do the same thing and practice that. So hopefully that comes in the horizon as well.
Oh, great. Thank you for sharing that. And Nicole, you mentioned that you were expatriating even before Mark thought of this idea, and you were probably one of the instigators to have him think about this idea and bring it to fruition. So can you share what options you had and what was going in your heart and mind that you chose this direction in life?
Yeah, definitely. So it's fun for me actually to reflect back on this, because after leaving Intel, my life has really gone in a completely different direction that, you know, I never could have dreamed of. And when I think about, you know, what would be helpful for your listeners is that when I go back to where I was at Intel, Intel is very focused on individuals creating this very structured five-year plan or 10-year plan, and you're actually required to do it. And, you know, having done that at Intel for 7 years, it got to a point where I thought, I'm actually really limiting my options, you know, beyond Intel if I'm only thinking so linear about, you know, career opportunities. So I knew that there was this, and it's almost in some ways militaristic. I hate to say that. I don't mean that in a negative way, as sometimes how large companies run. It's like you have, there's this one way you're supposed to do your career, and here are these specific jobs you have to have in order to be successful. And Intel, something that actually had inspired me prior to even, you know, when I made the decision, was that Intel has a program called the Intel Education Corps. And this is something that Mark and I had talked about prior to Moving Worlds, because we both love the concept that a huge corporation would select often 30 to 40 individuals at a time and let them, during their job at Intel, during their regular job, go spend time abroad actually building computer centers in developing countries. And they would, you know, spend a month before and even leave work for 2 weeks. So I always knew that I wanted to do that. And at the time, I couldn't, with my current job, actually leave and do that project. And so that was something I knew I want to do. And in addition, at Intel, they actually give you a sabbatical every 7 years. So in my whole career, I knew I was always going to take a sabbatical. So it wasn't as random when I left to do that with Intel. Mm-hmm. But once I left Intel, I knew that I needed to expand my actual experience, because I knew that in order to be really competitive in the workplace, I had to have, you know, something else to offer companies beyond just, you know, what I had at Intel. So the things that I thought through in order to make my decision was, you know, almost very concretely, which was, you know, what country do I want to live in, right? Because there are so many opportunities. I was really interested and had looked into doing microfinancing for small villages in Africa. I loved that concept. I had looked into working in Chile with a startup incubator. And then another option I looked into was working in Panama with a water initiative. And then I ended up now with eBanks in Brazil. And how did I decide this? Well, I first started, you know, with a region, right? Like I hadn't spent a lot of time in South America and I was interested in the culture. And then the other decision I think is important to make is what type of company. And I had kind of nailed it down to, I wanted to work in a startup environment, and it's something I had done at Intel. And so once I, with Mark, had gone through this selection process, and when the Intel opportunity came up, it honestly was this gut feeling. I knew that had to be right. And there's a book that had actually really changed my life at the time. And it's a book called The Art of Nonconformity. And one of the first things it actually talks about in the book is the concept that if how we all follow what everyone else is doing, because that's what everyone else is doing in life, and we're too scared to do something else. And what it says at the beginning of the book is, it's funny, it says, if everyone is going to jump off a bridge, are you going to do it too, just because everyone else is doing it? And so it's funny, but it's interesting concept. And so I always knew that despite all the naysayers, which is true, and everyone who questions it, and even now they don't, but how could you ever leave Intel, right? How that seems like the perfect job. I always knew that just because that's what everyone else says doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be true.
So share a little bit. Maybe, you know, if you can share your story about your experience overseas and how did your work impact the people? How did it impact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So another great company that was involved in my decision that Mark works with is called Endeavor Organization. It's also a nonprofit based out of New York. And what this company does is it actually selects what they call high-impact entrepreneurs in developing countries. And it's a very intense selection process. And it selects these entrepreneurs, and their goal is to help mentor these entrepreneurs and connect them with executive talent in order for them to be more successful. So a great mission. And when I was looking at these different types of opportunities, like maybe going to Africa, living in a hut, and et cetera, I knew that I wanted something a little more developed. And so this was perfect for me. And the in terms of the concept, it's about when they select these entrepreneurs and why they're selecting them is because they truly, and I know from my experience at eBanks, don't have the talent there. You know, like they're in very closed economies. Often they don't have the companies that were there. Like I had the opportunity with Intel in the U.S. Maybe they don't have the opportunities with the right universities in order to grow the skills. And so this company, you know, whether they're, you know, I know one of the mentors, but wasn't for us, but I saw him speak at a Denver event, was Richard Branson. So it really finds these entrepreneurs and connects them with these big visionaries and says, hey, this is what can help you. And so like eBanks, they're very open to it. That's what they wanted. So they wanted somebody, and I was there and willing to go down there. And at the time I started with eBanks, a very, you know, cool part about the journey that I could never have planned is that I went down there when there was 10 people in Brazil, you know, very undeveloped, in a small office. I was the only non-native English speaker in Brazil, only 3% of Brazilians speak English. And so I was able to go down there right away and give this like U.S. perspective on how they can be successful and not necessarily only do what I did at Intel, but offer them a different view on how, you know, a company that makes revenue of $40 billion, like what are like the structural things of a company and how does a Brazilian company learn to negotiate with Americans or Europeans, et cetera.
So then you were in that setting with only 10 people. How did you feel and how did you interact with the locals? And tell a little bit about the journey where you helped these individuals. What was the project and how the difference came about and what were the interactions? I know those are several questions.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So my experience, and I'm smiling because I've had this like really amazing experience. I'm so happy still to date about it because I'm still working there. But my experience was truly local. Like I had, and I wanted that, you know, I didn't want to be in because I've traveled very extensively. I didn't want to be in this Americanized, you know, environment. So I truly submersed myself in a country where I said only 3% speak English. I'm not fluent in Portuguese, but I did learn some socially. And so I immersed myself. They actually helped fund a very small kind of apartment, you know, in a, you know, very dangerous country. So I, you know, you think differently about life, you know, in terms of how you interact. And, you know, I kind of threw myself in there. In terms of, you know, the employees, everyone was so receptive and excited to have an American. I think that we forget in the United States, you know, we have such a wonderful, you know, quality of life. So they're very receptive and excited to have an American there. And what started as 10 employees, and I do truly believe my contribution to eBanks has made it been successful, is now we have over 100. So I literally was part of a company that now has created jobs, like legitimately created jobs in. It was in Curitiba, Brazil, which is south of Sao Paulo. Probably the second largest, you know, kind of big metropolitan city. And I've seen, you know, these employees have an opportunity to learn English, right? So our company gave English classes. They'd have an opportunity to travel. Some of them had never left Brazil. So it's, and, you know, and also what's fun about Brazilians is there's a very much like a family culture, right? So I got this opportunity to have, now I'll always have my Brazilian family, right? So, you know, I'm just such a wonderful experience. So it's great.
No, I love what you said, have a Brazilian family. And that's what it's all about, right? Globally, we have shrunk from technology perspective, from travel perspective. However, the more we are shrinking from technology, the more we are expanding in our distances between human-to-human connection, between building communities. So this is a great way of doing it. What a great achievement where 100 people got new jobs, you were able to create 100 jobs. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Now, if you could share with us briefly, how do you anticipate your future journey going and where it's going to go towards? And how are you going to continue to help people?
Yeah, definitely. So like I mentioned earlier, I've changed my mind from this 5-year, 10-year plan. And I know I kind of have started to have more of a vague 5-year, 10-year plan. Had I had this strict plan, I never would have gone right down to Brazil. But I do kind of do a 6-month plan. And I know for now, eBanks has really taken off in terms of the business internationally. And so, you know, I did take a full-time job. I actually had a 3-month round-trip ticket, and I stayed in eBanks in Brazil for a year. I since live in Los Angeles. So for now, I want to be with eBanks. You know, I really believe in it. And I have another book quote that's random, but these are people who inspired me, is Sheryl Sandberg wrote a book called Lean In. And in the book, she writes that when she came from kind of working in finance on the East Coast, and she goes to Google when it's 30 employees, and she wants this very structured environment, but it's a total Silicon Valley startup. And one of the founders of Google says to her, when you get asked to go on a rocket ship, you don't ask what seat, you just get on. So I think it's a little bit about being in the moment and being open to opportunities. So to be honest, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I have a vague idea, I guess, now. Recently in the last few weeks, of the new skills I need to develop that, you know, I might not get at eBanks in the future. And maybe it's with eBanks that I get those different skills. And I never thought about it, but I actually now am considering maybe going into a more corporate structured type environment in order to grow more of my management skills. However, the idea of, you know, endeavor and moving worlds, you know, will always be a part of me. And I know it will definitely impact my decision with my next company in order for it to have some type of like underlying mission and what it's trying to do in terms of have a positive impact on the world.
Mm-hmm. I wish you all the best. And since you love the book, if you get a chance and if you want to read The Promise of a Pencil, there's one young entrepreneur in New York, a young gentleman just like the young generation that you all are, and who has taken upon himself to start schools in Africa, and maybe that book may interest you. Thank you, Nicole, for sharing. So, Michael, could you share a little bit about your story when you expatiated? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
I actually went to Ghana, Kumasi, Ghana. And I was working at it was called the College of Integrative Medical Sciences, and it was founded by a physician there in Ghana. One of the issues in Ghana is that it's a very populated country with very little access to healthcare in rural places, and the founder of the college's vision is to be able to train students to go out to the remote areas and work in healthcare in those remote areas. So part of what I was doing while I was there was doing some photography and videography, but also I worked with the founder of the college to develop budgets so that he could go out and actually be able to solicit people who might be able to help with some of his financing needs. So I spent a lot of time there at the College of Integrative Medical Sciences. I also spent some time with former students who had gone from there to start up their own types of businesses. One person that I encountered has a community health organization that provides health care in that particular community, because like I said, a lot of times people in rural areas don't have care. So he was a success story, so to speak, from that college. I spent a lot of time with the doctor, the founder of the college, going around looking at different sites and speaking with people. That one of the problems that they had was that they were actually housed in a two-story house, basically, and it wasn't necessarily suitable for a college learning environment. So we went to different sites and looked at possible other locations. Actually, there was a group of students from the University of Minnesota who came over, and we actually had a book exchange ceremony between the students at the College of Integrative Medical Sciences and the students from Minnesota, and took pictures of that and did videography related to that. Actually stayed in people's houses while I was there and got to learn a little bit about some of their issues. While I was there, the doctor's mother became ill, and he brought her to the college and treated her there. And actually, sadly, she passed away, but I was actually able to see some funeral rituals related to Ghana and learned a little bit about the people and what was going on in their lives and some of the healthcare and education issues there in Ghana. So it was rewarding for me, and I hope that I helped them a little bit, and just being able to tell their stories and help the doctor from a budgeting standpoint to make sure that what we were actually seeing was reflected in his budget numbers.
I'm sure, Michael, you helped them, because just the feeling in your voice and from the words that you have used, you know, you connected with their problems, you learned about the traditions. It definitely sounds like that, you know, it made a huge impact on you.
Yes, it did. It sort of, I was in an environment where, you know, water and electricity were not necessarily something that they always had, and it made me appreciate the things that I take for granted, because certainly I came back and thought about, you know, I have this and I have that, and there are people who don't necessarily have the same access to the things that we have access to in the United States.
That is so true, that, you know, we are grateful every single day for things that we have, but how many times we end up appreciating it. Simple things in life, that you turn on the water is there, clean drinking water for all of us. You turn on the light, the electricity is there throughout the day. You're not worrying the electricity going off, because we live in a good place. There are a lot of things to appreciate. Now, what is it that you're doing that you have completed your expert hearing?
I lost part of your question. What is it that I...
So what are you doing now that you've finished your experience?
Okay. I thought when I left that I didn't want to do any work in accounting anymore, but I actually started my own accounting organization, and I have a few clients that are startup organizations. One is, one I work at remotely, and one is actually a school that I'm working at. And another thing that came out of it was just sort of working on an organization that's sort of supporting people in Ghana and working with people there in Ghana still remotely. So I thought that I wanted to leave accounting, but I realized that I could do some accounting and still help people. people. And, you know, because like you said, when you think about accounting, you think of tax and that sort of thing and not being in a helping type of role. But I'm looking for opportunities where accounting can be used to help people in a unique way. So working with startups, working with schools and that sort of thing has been what I've moved into since coming back from Ghana.
I appreciate what you do and I acknowledge you for that, because we need people like the panel that we have. So audience, listeners, if you have a minute, just go give one smile to someone, do a small kind act. It could just be as easy as letting somebody in the car traffic, not honking at them because they have cut in front of you. It could be as simple as appreciating your family and friends around you. Thank you, Michael.
Sure.
And Michael, I would like to ask you, there are a lot of people who are in the consideration phase because going overseas and helping and going to remote areas, it can pose lots and lots of questions, whether I want to go, how is it going to impact my life? And yet there is something that's calling them. It's a calling of purpose for them where they want to reach out and help others. So what advice would you give those people who are still in consideration phase?
I think the biggest thing, something that Mark said earlier, he talked about regret minimalization. And I think that that's something, if you feel the calling to do something like this and to go overseas and help people, don't resist it. I think that if it's something that's actually in you, that you should go. And certainly you have to remember that other environments are not like ours, so don't necessarily think to push your values and your views on other people. Just accept the people as they are and help in the ways that you can, but don't necessarily look to see America in other places that you go, but certainly helping other people in global arenas gave me a feeling of pleasure and fulfillment. And I think if you have that calling and you resist it, you will have some regrets. So certainly go ahead as much as possible and go ahead and fulfill those dreams and the callings that you have related to that.
Great advice. Nicole, do you have advice for our listeners who may be in the consideration phase and they get motivated and yet they're not motivated?
Yeah. I'm not going to say that it's easy for anybody to change course and do something so different, especially because not that many people do it. However, I definitely think you won't have any regrets when you do something like this. In fact, I think that now I could never have imagined my life without it, you know? And I always say that what's the worst that can happen, right? You go there, you don't like it, and, you know, you do something else. So, and the other thing would be that I feel that often people aren't happy because they're not growing, right? You're not challenging yourself, maybe outside of your job. And I think in the United States, we only think about the United States, right? And there's only 300 million people in the United States, not that large of a population, you know, compared to other countries. And so it's important to see what else is going out in the world. And it does make you so much more grateful for our quality of life and all the opportunities in the United States. And I think having an experience like that will lead to a happier life, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Michael. Mark, if you will shed light on how we have talked about how you can grow experience, if you can narrow it down to how people can acquire their skills or how people can grow their skills using the service and how they can take it to the career. That would cover the career aspect of our show. We have definitely talked about life, that how it's meaningful, how it's rewarding, and how it feeds your soul and spirit.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. So, you know, I think there's one important message maybe to highlight first, which is, and Nicole brought this up and Michael brought it up, but I just wanted to wrap it up a little bit more in that, you know, one of the biggest barriers to global progress, right, and the reason that we've seen Michael and Nicole create such a big impact is because there's a massive lack of access to skills almost everywhere. And what that means is that if you have skills of any type, somewhere there's a place where you can put those to practice for the greater good, and you can also help others develop those skills. And so in answering your question, I start with that statement because the best way, you know, if you're really using service as a way to, you know, to grow and to kind of explore your own strengths, it's to know that. It's to know that somewhere there is a place or an organization or a group or a person that can benefit from your time and your energy and your existing know-how. And so, you know, there's this concept in personal development, right, where you're always building on your strengths. And I think there's, you know, a book called Strengths Finder, you know, and there's a lot of kind of career development that's built around that same concept. And the fact that people need your current strengths somewhere means that that's the best thing that you can possibly give. But what we also know from a personal development standpoint is one of the best ways to develop is to continue developing those strengths. And so to tie this back into your question, Divya, around, you know, what should people do and how should they look at their own experience to grow? It's to really do an audit of, okay, what are my strengths? And if you're not sure, to talk to your friends, to talk to your coworkers, to talk to your boss, if you have a coach or a mentor, formal or informal, talk to all of them and really try and zero in on what are your strengths, what makes you come alive. And then the next step is to go find an organization that needs those skills. You know, I have a bias. That's what we do at movingworlds.org, and we love to help people do that. But you might know somebody in your own community, or you might have a personal connection to someone overseas. But it's to really find an organization not just that is interesting to you, but that actually has come forward to say, we're working on a project, it's being initiated by us locally, and we need these specific skills to help. And then it's to engage in that organization and to sit down with them in the creative partnership and to be very forward to say, you know, look, I'm Mark, and I'm really interested in building my entrepreneurial skills. So I want to volunteer with you know, some of my existing business development skills and finance skills, you know, with you as a startup. And what I hope to learn and get exposure to is, you know, operations and how you scale up. And in return, what I can really offer you are these skills, and I can help with, you know, maybe creating a business plan or creating a sales and marketing plan or even leading some business development outreach. To be very, very concrete and to create a formal work plan. And, you know, this is something that, you know, Nafisa has really led on our team, but it's creating this, we call it an expertiering planning guide, where it's this kind of start to finish online discussion or facilitated discussion about every question that you should be asking in this planning phase of a project. And that's available on the website. And to go through that process and to focus not just on the project now, but also to start creating a partnership. You know, Nicole said that, you know, now she has a Brazilian family, and that's because she didn't just focus on, you know, developing some sales flyers, but rather she really went there. She understood the community. She took time to understand the people and their own goals and their own aspirations, and then worked to support those. And there's a great quote from Harvey S. Firestone about you get the best of others when you give the best of yourself. And I think really is, people embark on these projects, you know, hopefully they've already found one that's aligned with their skills, it's been initiated locally, they're creating a partnership, and then, you know, and then it's giving the best of yourself. And then, you know, and we kind of recommend that people treat this like a relationship, personal and professional. And you just keep the lines of communication open with the organization that you're speaking with. You know, like Michael shared in his story, that, you know, he went there originally to do some videography and photography, but as he got to know the founder a little bit more, they were able to communicate and see that there were other opportunities for him to bring even more of his skills to the table around accounting and business planning. And so I think, you know, to kind of summarize, I think it's, you know, take an audit of your skills, find an organization that needs those skills, work on creating a real partnership that's a two-way street with that organization where you know what they need, but they also understand what you're learning to learn and develop with. And then to, you know, to give, you know, every bit of energy that you can, you know, to give the best of yourself. And I think if you do all those things, at the end of it, you're able to reflect on it and really realize the impact that you've had and the skills that you've learned.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. So let's say if our listeners wanted to reach you, how, what is the best way of reaching you? And if you have any gifts for our listeners, please do share.
Sure. So the best thing that you can do is check us out on movingworlds.org. If you are interested in joining it, Moving Worlds is a membership community. We have a membership fee that allows us to provide personal support to you and to the organization and to guide you through that entire planning process. So by being a friend of Vivian and Blog Talk Radio, we'll have a 10% off coupon, and we'll post that on the in the comment section of the webpage where this this radio show is posted, or you can email me for it if you just heard this and don't know where that webpage is. And my email is mark@movingworlds.org. And if you have any questions about our service or our work, or just want to talk to somebody as you're exploring a journey, you know, this is what makes us come alive, is talking to people and hoping that they can have experiences like Nicole and like Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And listeners, regardless of where you are in your career, what age you are, it's never too late to gain experience in your skills, grow and develop, because the name of life is growth. And what better way than to grow yourself while helping others grow? So thank you, Mark, for what you're doing and sharing your time and being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. And I acknowledge you for doing the work that you're doing.
No, thank you, Divya. It's really an honor. And I'll tell you, one of the highlights of the week has also, you know, having another excuse to jump on a call with Nicole and Michael and hear their stories, you know, still, you know, another year after some of our last touch bases and hear all the incredible work they've been continuing to do. So thanks for giving us the forum to share and to also hear from more of our members. It's been really wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure our listeners will have enjoyed the show, and they will enjoy listening to the recording, because the recording is going to be there. So thank you again. And Nafisa, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our audience? And if they need to reach you, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, thank you. I want to actually add to something that you said. I think you brought up a really good point, that you can do this at any age and any stage of your career. And we have experts here that come from a variety of backgrounds, young professionals to all the way to retired. And sometimes it's just really just to be able to fulfill that kind of idea, that goal to be able to give back and to be able to get involved in something. And sometimes it really is to help boost your professional career. And it can go both ways. So, you know, if you can't quit your job and to go expertise, we have expertise that do it for 2 weeks at a time. They use their vacation. They talk to their bosses about getting a sabbatical and how it will actually benefit their company and their work ethic and their organization from the insight that they'll be getting from in the field. So we've had people go for 2 weeks, and with the resources that we provide, and you know how Mark talked about the planning guide and really planning before you get there, you can actually create a sustainable impact, even if you go for 2 weeks, as long as you work within the constraints of your time. We've had families go. People go during their kids' vacation and take their families along. A husband and wife can both contribute their skills in different ways and bring their kids along and expose their kids to different cultures and different communities. So there's really so many different ways that you can do it at so many different ages. And, you know, we're talking about like points of inspiration that, you know, that there's so many different, we actually have a training that's completely free on our website that if you kind of need that boost in that training, it's called Best Practices for Volunteering Overseas. And I think it really helps people kind of understand the concept of what it is and how you can do it with your skill sets and kind of just really inspires and excites you and tells you best practices while you're there. So that's a point of inspiration if anybody needs it. And everybody's welcome to email with any questions or concerns. My email is a little bit harder to remember, but it's Nafisa@movingworlds.org, and that's spelled N-A-F-E-S-S-A. My name's also on the website, so you're welcome to email me about any questions.
Thank you, Nafisa, for being on the show, sharing your passion and inspiration with the people. It was a privilege to have each and every one of you. So as we get close to moving the closing of the show, I would thank Michael for being on the show. It's been a privilege to have you. And Michael, would you like to say a few words of wisdom? And if people want to reach you, how they could reach you?
Sure. I guess the biggest thing is just, you know, you can have some fears and concerns about going into a different environment, but just be open to it, and it's rewarding for you personally and rewarding for the organization or the people that you work with as well. And there is the opportunity for service even in fields that are not traditionally thought of as being service-oriented type fields. And I can be reached at, I have several email addresses, but michaelracounting@yahoo.com.
Thank you, Michael, again. It was a pleasure having you on this show.
It's been my pleasure, too.
Nicole, thank you again for joining us, sharing your inspiration and passion and guidance for people. If you would please share where our audience can reach you if they would like to, as well, a few words of parting wisdom, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. And I'm really happy I could join your podcast today. I would like to share with your listeners that, you know, there's never going to be a perfect time to, you know, try something new like this, right? So don't wait for the time, and do it when you feel it, and don't be afraid to try something new. And it will be scary, but after you do it, you become, like, I feel like I've become so much more independent and confident, and, you know, that evolves into all different parts of my life. And you can reach me at my personal email, which is my first name and my last name at Gmail. So it's Nicole Wickswat. And I think Mark will send out the exact email as well.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And on behalf of our listeners and on behalf of the Beyond Confidence radio show, I thank each and every one of you. It's been a joy having you all on the show, and it's been great for our listeners, too. I don't know where the hour went by. So, dear listeners, if you need to reach me, I can be contacted at contact@Divya, D-I-V as in Victor, Y-A, P-A-R-E-K-H.com. Please feel free to reach out and ask for the free reports. And if there's any way I can serve you, until next time, be powerful and be brilliant. Take care. Bye-bye.